Marion Haberly on September 9th, 1986. I am interviewing a former resident of Salisbury, Mr. Feliciano Zacchio, who at the present time lives in Torrington. Now, Zach, I think you could tell us when you first came to Salisbury.
I was born in Lucerne, Switzerland, where my father was working in a furniture factory there at the time. Then, through some relatives here in Salisbury, my mother and father decided that they would like to come to Salisbury to live. So we stayed with our relatives in Salisbury for a while, and Dad finally found a rent that we moved into and lived there for a while until he got established enough to start his own home, which he eventually did up on Route 41 in Salisbury. And we lived there until I went away in the service in 1942, and I never came back to Salisbury. I settled in Torrington, and that's where I am living at the present time.
Mm-hmm. And your father built the home?
My father built our home.
Mm-hmm. Your father was trained in Italy, I think you said, as a furniture maker and cabinet maker. Could you tell us something about what he was trained as and what he did when he came here to Salisbury?
Yes, I remember Dad telling me how he got started in his line of work. He served an apprenticeship with a wagon maker in Italy, and that's where he started working with wood. And he worked making wagons, particularly the wagon wheels. Then he went on to some of the finer woodworking parts of a house in it, because it is famous for mostly for masonry type of home. But they all had, of course, windows, window frames. They had doors and many things still made of wood. So he got accustomed to making the wooden components that go into these masonry homes. But then he decided he'd like to work in the finer things, enter the art field, so to speak, and started making the finer things that go into a home, the furniture. And then he made started with inlay woodwork. And he established himself with quite a reputation for doing that kind of thing. But when he came to America, there was no demand for that kind of work that he was already familiar with. So it's a well-known fact that a cabinet maker is usually a pretty good carpenter as well. So he found some carpentry work. He went to work for some contractors here. He took jobs of his own, and he established himself as a very well-known carpenter, as well as a cabinet maker. So he worked throughout most of his time in Salisbury as a carpenter. And he did a lot of this fancier type of work in his leisure time.
Mm-hmm.
And after he retired, of course.
Yes. Who were some of the contractors and carpenters for whom he worked?
One of the first contractors that Dad worked for was a contractor here in Salisbury by the name of Horace Kelsey. Horace Kelsey was a contractor, and he also had a coal business here, down always known as Railroad Street. And I remember Dad telling me that he worked on the town hall after it was remodeled for the first time. That was back in 1914. And there's a great many places here in Salisbury. Even now, when I come down here for a visit, I see these various places where Dad had worked, and bring back many memories of our days when we lived here. Besides, in later years, Horace Kelsey contract, he also worked with the E. Rainsford contracting firm in Lakeville. He was associated with that firm for a great many years also. And he did numerous fine work, many jobs for arrangement as well. Worked in many of the churches. I can remember one time when we were working for Rainsford, Dad and I went to the little town of Falls Village to do a couple weeks' work. And believe it or not, we were down there for a period of 2 years. It seems as though we went from one job to another, and we remodeled the president of the Iron Bank in Fall River, a man by the name of Henry C. Gaylor. We remodeled his house, and he got us acquainted with many others in town. So for the Rainsford firm, we produced quite a bit of work in that period of time in Falls Village.
Mm-hmm. Zach, you said that your father had done some work in the Congregational Church and in Lakeville Methodist Church. Could you tell us about the things that he made for them?
The thing that Dad made for the Congregational Church that comes to my mind right now is the communion table that sits at the foot of the altar in the church. He may have done some other work besides that, but I'm not familiar with, I'm not knowledgeable of that. While we're on the subject of the Congregational Church, I might mention that I did a little work there myself. After the war, when the kitchen was remodeled, and I was already established in the kitchen remodeling business then, and I came down for this concern in Torrington, and I installed a modern kitchen in the rear of the part of the church. So getting back to Dad now, and the other churches that he worked in, he made the pulpit and the. There's another section of the altar.
Communion
part,
table?
The communion table in the Methodist Church in Lakeville. He did some work also for the St. Mary's Catholic Church, but I think the major part of that work, I think, was in the residence, the pastor's residence.
The rectory.
The rectory. That's
yes.
That's it.
All right.
In my dad's work here in Salisbury, I might also mention, alongside of the town hall was the residence of the Donald J. Warner, and Dad did a lot of work on that house. One that comes to my mind that I helped him with was when we repaired the beautiful fence that runs along the front of the property, and I remember working on it for quite a while because it was a very well built fence, and at that time it required quite a bit of repair work. And I also remember while I was working for Rainsford, in my employment with Rainsford, that I helped myself work on the roof when we reshingled the roof of that house. So I can say that I did quite a bit of work here myself in this town.
Yes. And you say you helped with the renovation of the library?
I also did some work here in the library while in the employ of Edward E. Rainsford. The major part of the work that I remember, I'm going back 40 years now, and it's a little bit hard for me to dig these things out. But anyway, I remember working on the roof. We had to remove a lot of the roof shingles to put in some new flashing. I remember working with a contractor from Norfolk, Mr. Mulwell, who did the masonry work at the time. And we had to do with the reflashing and the replacing of the shingles and the pointing up in general and waterproofing and all that. So that was another job that I worked on here.
In the years that your father was working here and you were helping him, was there a lot of new homes going up?
Yes, I remember working on a few new homes here, perhaps not as much as we see today in the growth of Salisbury and the Lakeville area as it is. A place that we worked a lot in was at Hotchkiss School, I remember, There was a very fine school that always provided much building maintenance, as well as the building of new dormitories, new buildings in general up there. I remember going up there with my dad in 1935 or 36. We started working on one dormitory, and we were the last ones to leave there. We worked throughout the construction of that building, and that provided us with quite a bit of employment for that year.
Mm-hmm. I think you also mentioned that you had worked on something for the Hoskins.
Yes, the Hoskins job, that came quite a bit later in my work, I would say. That came after the war. What I had been talking about before was all pre-World War II. Now I'm going to say something about what came after the war. I did quite a bit of kitchen remodeling work in my recent years of employment. And I did the kitchen job in the new construction of the Hoskins House. Mr. and Mrs. Hoskins were the publishers of the Lakewood Journal at the time. So I did a very fine job there, and numerous other work up on where they built their house, up on there, on the Reservoir Road. There's quite a bit of construction going up there, and I was fortunate enough to get in there to do the kitchen cabinetry work.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Well, Zach, let us go back a little bit to the time when you were growing up here in Lakeville. Could you tell us something about the schools that you attended and the activities that went on?
Every time I come to Salisbury, I am reminded of my first days of school here. I'm going through the center of Salisbury, we go by the little brick. It used to be Little Brick Academy then. It's now the temporary office of the town hall also. And I went to the first and second grade there, and I can still remember my teacher's name. She was a Miss Avelina Hardy, and they lived on Route 41, just a short distance from the center of town. And after we graduated from that school, went to what was known as the Grove School, a little ways up on 41, where we had the third, fourth, and fifth grade on the first floor of the Grove School, and sixth, seventh, and eighth grades on the second floor. And that's where I finished my primary grades of school. In the, I'm trying to think of the names of the teachers I had there. I think I can remember my third, fourth, and fifth grade teacher as a Miss Clark. She may have been the sister of George Clark and A. Bert Clark. And my other teacher in that Grove School building was a Miss Butler. Her name was Mary C. Butler. She came down and taught us from where she lived in New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire.
That's very interesting. You really remember the names, don't you?
I come here to Salisbury. It's a great pleasure for me to come back here when I do. Every time I do, I'm reminded of many, many pleasant days here. I left here, as I said before, to go into service. I never came back here. But I do enjoy every visit that I do make coming back mm-hmm. here and going over all these things.
When you went to school, you didn't have buses in those days, did you?
No, we always walked. I think that one of my sisters, when she went to high school from Salisbury, where we lived on Route 41, by the time she got to go to high school, they did provide bus service, so she got to ride the bus. But we always walked the 3 miles from our home to the high school in Lakeville and back. The high school, incidentally, was the building that was situated where the post office now stands in Lakeville. The school building was set back some ways back from where the post office now stands.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Then the only building or school building which you attended that is still standing is the academy, is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that is the only building that is, well, the Grove School, is that was moved or was that torn down? I don't
remember. I don't know.
But it's not there
yeah.
now.
No. You were saying earlier when we were speaking that as you came up, you were reminded of some Red Cross activity that you did.
Oh, yes.
As a very young child in school.
Oh, yes, definitely. I walked into the library ground this morning, and it really brought back some memories from way back. As young children going to school here during the war years, we were taught how to knit little squares that eventually were assembled as Red Cross blankets. And I remember on this very library grounds here, groups of children would under the direction of a Miss Lois Warner, pretty sure that was her name, directed us and taught us how to knit these little squares. And after our little session of knitting was over, we were treated to a picnic of peanut butter sandwiches and milk, which to me was the greatest treat that I could have.
Did you do this once a week or so?
We did that about once a week, yes. Mm-hmm. For when it started and when we finished, my memory fails me there. Mm-hmm. But I remember very well those wonderful times that we had on the library lawn here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have much time for recreation when you were growing up, or were you kept busy at home with chores?
No, when we were growing up, we were always had our chores to do at home. I remember as a small little boy, I used to have to help my two sisters. My mother would give us each a dust cloth and go around and keep the furniture dusted. And I used to help outside as much as I could and with my mother in her garden. Dad was always busy with his work. He didn't have too much time to devote to gardening, so he left that up to mother and us children. And we got so that we liked it. As a matter of fact, when we were going to school, we had a district supervisor by the name of Miss Esther Frink, who came to the school and had a lot to do with us getting interested in agriculture and gardening work. So I remember having our own little individual gardens as we were children, and she would come around and inspect them in the growing season to see how we were doing with them. And I think that we did quite well in helping, doing our little bit to raise a few vegetables.
Yes, yes. That's interesting. Can you remember the different businesses that were here? I know there were a lot more right here in the center of Salisbury than there are now.
Something very strong in my mind is the system that they had at the time of helping the homeowners get provisions at home. In other words, the facilities weren't like they are today, where we can just jump in a car and go to the market. In Salisbury, I remember we had the George H. Clark grocery store, the George H. Clark household provision store, and they used to have a system of coming around in the morning, taking orders for whatever provisions we wanted, and then they would be delivered in the afternoon. And I remember the man by the George Parsons, a friend of our family, came around and took orders in his little horse and buggy in the morning, and then in the afternoon, the orders were delivered by on a team of horses in a large wagon by a man by the name of Grant Tanner. I am fortunate I can remember those names because I saw so much of those people that they just stayed in my mind. Mm-hmm. And
do you remember the small factories, businesses, which were located along Factory Street going up toward Mount Riga?
Yes, I remember the Salisbury Artisans Factory. That was a factory where they made mostly knife handles. The material used for these knife handles were mostly made out of various hardwoods coming from many parts of the world. I remember my dad going up there and getting pieces of the scraps that they used to discard that they were not able to use, and he would bring them home, and they were large enough for him to make some of his inlaid woodwork with. I remember that factory very well. We're talking about another factory here in Salisbury. I'm reminded of the OxyChristine. It was sort of pharmacy type of a institution where they made. I think it was a laxative product or medication that they made at the OxyChristine factory.
This was on Railroad Street?
This was on Railroad Street. This was on Railroad Street.
Who owned the knife handle factory?
The knife handle factory was owned by Mr. Philip Warner, one of the Warners of the prominent Warner families of Salisbury.
When you were a young boy growing up, did you ever go up on Mount Riga?
Yes, we used to go up there quite a bit. I was with a group of boys. We used to go for hikes, and we usually travel around with a fishing pole on our shoulder, looking for a stream where we could fish. And roaming around in the woods was always a fascinating pastime for us children growing up. We enjoyed that very much in this area.
One of our narrators on the tape said he used to fish as a young boy in Fisher's Pond. Did you ever go up there on 41?
Yes, I fished at Fisher's Pond when I was a child. I don't know too much about it today, whether that's still allowed or not, but there was quite a bit of freedom in the fishing places back then when I was growing up.
It probably isn't allowed now. I think Fisher's Pond is now on Merrill Streep's property.
I have heard that she was in this area.
Yes. And I think many people preserve their privacy a little more.
Fisher's Pond brings back another memory to me that it was called Fisher's Pond because at one time it was owned by a man by the name of Fisher. And I remember him coming around with a truck, I believe, one of the first trucks in the area that I can remember as a boy growing up. And he selling some of the fish that came from his pond.
Another person who brought food to the house.
Exactly.
To go back a minute to Factory Street, there was a mill there. Was there not feed? Your father make use of that for what animals you had on your place?
Yes, there was a feed store there. It was run by a George H. Sellett, who also was one of our town selectmen. I remember going there with Dad to get feed for our livestock, what little livestock we had at home. At one time, we had as many as 3 cows, and we always had a few chickens and a couple of pigs. Back then, that was our way of life, in having some livestock to help us along. And I remember going there with Dad to get the feed for the stock. And I also remember as a boy going there with some of my playmates, and that they had a pond back there, and we used to go swimming in that pond.
You had your swimming hole.
We had our swimming hole.
You did not, did you ever go up to the lakes, the Twin Lakes?
That was one of our greatest places of pleasure. For picnicking, we used to go there for fishing, of course, boating, and it was quite a popular place back then, particularly for us youngsters.
I see. Do you remember the Scovilles, who owned so much property in the Twin Lake area?
Yes, we remember both Scovilles families very well, the Herbert Scovilles and the Roger Scovilles. I had where they were both families. I remember when the last time that there was a toll place, we built like a fire, right? It was very down, it was like a camp, but anyway, it was a work that must be made wrong. And a lot of new furniture for the estate was imported from abroad. And I remember Dad working on a lot of it, restoring it, doing repair and that like, for the souls.
They owned a great deal of property.
They owned quite a bit of economy.
Yes. Back a little bit, you mentioned the Clark store. Is that building still in existence, or? Well, I guess you haven't been here that much lately to know.
The Clark store buildings are still here.
Oh, they are.
It's the first building, the main building, is the one right next to St. John's Church. And then there's a little bit of building in between. I think that was also owned by the Clarks. At that time, I remember it being like a little shoemaker shop in there. Oh. And next to that was another larger building that was a dry goods store establishment of the George H. Clark firm.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was quite a merchant in town then.
He was quite a merchant and a very prominent figure, I remember. I still see him in my mind. He's one of the most well-dressed men in town. He all wore a derby hat. And I remember him very well as being, in my mind, the first town clerk that I can recall.
Mm-hmm. Now, living up on 41 and coming down into town as a young boy, you passed White Hart Inn a good many times, I imagine. Was that as great an inn and restaurant as it has been in recent years? Was it as busy a place?
I think I can say that the Whitehead Inn has always been a prominent establishment in Salisbury, always a very well-known inn. And I remember when I was here, one of the managers of the inn, and probably in the ownership of it, was a man by the name of William Russell.
Mm-hmm. And the Ragamont Inn, was that an inn when you were a young boy?
The Ragamont Inn is not very clear in my mind in my growing up days as a young boy. I do remember it as a very nice restaurant. The biggest memory I have of it in my mind is that it was the reception area for my two sisters when they were married here. They uh-huh. both had their dinner reception parties there.
Oh. Mm-hmm, I see.
They were both married in the, both my sisters were married in St. Mary's Church in Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the Reverend P.J. Lawler was there.
Lawler.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Can you recall if there have been any changes, say, along Railroad Street, other than the fact that the railroad has gone since you moved away?
At the time I left here in 1942 to go into service, there may have been some new homes built in the area of Railroad Street. But the big change came after World War II, I think, because now we know it as a great shopping area, and there are some newer homes built down there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Speaking of the railroad, did you use it much as a, you know, to get from place to place, say up to Canaan or down to Lakeville?
I remember that in growing up, I as a young man, I helped Dad take care of a residence, a very fine residence in Taconic, a Twin Lake area. And I remember taking the railroad. At that time, it was a one-car, the newer one-car system, to go from Salisbury to go to Taconic. And from there, I walked a short distance to Twin Lakes to do the work that I wanted to do at the residence.
Yes. I guess there are very few remnants of the railroad in that area now. Maybe an occasional bridge. But did they have a station?
Yes.
Taconic.
They had a small station in Taconic. And getting back to the railroad system, I remember when we were small children, our doctor, our physician, was a Dr. Bissell that lived in Lakeville. And it came time that we had some, my sisters and I had tonsil trouble. So we had to have our tonsils removed. So I remember going to Canaan and getting on a train in Canaan, and Dad took us over the weekend, and he stayed with us in Pittsfield while we were in the hospital having our tonsils removed.
Oh, Dr. Bissell did it?
Dr. Bissell in the Pittsfield Hospital.
Oh, that was quite a ways to go to a hospital.
It was.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Was there any bus service, say, between Salisbury and Canaan?
I don't remember there being much of a bus service system yet back then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first bus that came to my mind was a bus that went by our house to pick up my sister when she went to the high school in Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the first ones to use the bus system going to school.
Mm-hmm. Zach, do you remember a fire, I believe in the spring of 1940 or so, that was supposed to have started in New York State and just spread across the border, and many people felt that their property was in extreme danger?
Yes, I do remember that fire quite well. Come to my mind that I took the garden hose, and we didn't have the town or city water then. We had our own spring, and I remember getting the hot garden hose out and sprinkling the area immediately around our building, so in case the fire did come anywhere near it. Because the fire was not very far up in back of our house where we lived on 41. It was up in back of the, up in the Selleck Hill area, up in there. And I remember the a lot of backfiring going on. In other words, you're building a fire to fight the other fire that is coming towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that very well. And something else that it's very clear to me that we were very fortunate in having one of the fire trucks parked right in front of our house in the immediate area in case something happened. There's perhaps several houses near in group together there, and that fire engine made us feel very, very secure and being protected against what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, it didn't come.
Fortunately, it didn't come. We reached the houses.
Yes, but it's a fearsome thing.
It was a fearsome thought.
Yes, yes. Tell me, do you remember anything else of these two communities, Salisbury and Lakeville, and how they have changed since you lived here?
Yes, I've seen many changes in the times I've been back here since I've been living in Torrington. Our Route 41 where we used to live, I think in the meantime, since we sold our house in, I think it was 1952 that the dad and I sold it. And since then, I've seen great many new places gone up in just in that one area, Route 41. And I haven't had occasion to travel around too much in the immediate area up here, but then undoubtedly there must be a lot of new buildings throughout the whole area.
Yes, yes, I think there are.
New homes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you say that there are fewer commercial enterprises here than there were when you were growing up? That is, little factories and businesses.
Well, perhaps some of the older ones have gone on, but there's some new ones came about to replace them. So mm-hmm. there is still good employment for those that seek work here. I'm reminded of a newer establishment in Canaan. There's a Benedictson factory there, I believe, and I think the lime kiln factory is still going there. And
Pfizer.
Pardon?
Do you mean Pfizer?
Yes, Pfizer.
Yes.
The Pfizer establishment. And in the immediate area here, I can't recall anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's many new homes been built here because I've worked in some of them.
Yes, yes. I'm sure you have. Before we close, we speak of your father, and we know his name was Zacchaeo, but I didn't mention his first name, and since he has become so well known for his artistry in building furniture, I think we should have his first name on the tape.
That's real Italian name was pronounced Michele, and it is spelled the same as we spell our lady's name, Michelle. M-I-C-H-E-L-E.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And his middle name was Archangel. Archangel. Michael Michele Arcangelo Zacchaeo. Now there's a good old-fashioned Italian name for you.
Yes, it certainly is. Melodious, too. Well, I want to thank you very, very much for coming here and giving us some of your memories and also telling us about your father's work, of whom I know you are very, very proud.
That I am. And I am very thankful for the opportunity to come here and come out with this little bit of information I've been able to give to you. It has given me much pleasure, and thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.